So our gospel lesson this morning is from the Gospel of Luke in chapter 23, verses 33 through 43. It starts on page 1641 in your pew Bible if you'd like to follow along. But before we hear the word read and proclaimed, if you'll join me in our praying together for the prayer of illumination. Holy God, through the generations you have spoken to us. You have sent voices crying out of the wilderness. You have sent words that overjoy a new father and an expectant mother. You have sent the assurance of a condemned man on the cross. Quiet in us any voice but your own, that by the power of your Spirit we might hear the words you speak to us today. Amen.
Starting in verse 33 of the 23rd chapter of the Gospel of Luke. When they came to the place called the Skull, there they crucified him along with the criminals, one on his right, the other on his left. Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And they divided up his clothes by casting lots. The people stood watching, and the rulers even sneered at him. They said, "He saved others. Let him save himself if he's the Christ of God, the chosen one." The soldiers also came up and mocked him. They offered him wine vinegar and said, "If you are the king of the Jews, save yourself." There was a written notice above him which read, "This is the king of the Jews." One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him. "Aren't you the Christ? Save yourself and us." But the other criminal rebuked him. Don't you fear God," he said, "since you are under the same sentence? We are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. This man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Jesus answered him, "I'll tell you the truth today. Today you will be with me in paradise." This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks
be to God indeed. Christ the King Sunday bridges ordinary time and Advent, inviting us to shift our attention to the preparation for the incarnation, even as the retail machine is already shoving us headlong into Christmas. We barely had time to get Thanksgiving on before we got out of Halloween, and the next thing you know, boom, it's Christmas. Some stores just bypassed Christmas or Thanksgiving altogether. But this Sunday also kicks off the week of Thanksgiving, and many of us, like ourselves in the pews, are focused on company coming, or perhaps you're traveling to some places. And for many, the reign of our Lord is not perhaps top of our minds as we consider all the other issues and tasks that are barreling towards us this week. I worry about the nonstop news of the different things that are on the news cycle this week, and it perhaps hijacking any hope for a peaceful family gathering, right? I know there are others that wonder if they will be alone on this day, billed as being all about family and friends. As we said at the beginning of the service, I hope you will extend that invitation to here on Thursday to come and get our knees under the same table for dinner, if that is your case. But there's overflowing tables and endless calls to purchase Christmas gifts cast in stark relief for a lot of our neighbors, and the growing divide between this rich and the impoverished. And the cultural shift towards the holidays is in full swing, friends, and subsequently few will come to worship expecting to hear Jesus' passion narrative, as we heard this morning. It's an odd placement for this time of year. Everything about this liturgical emphasis on kingship and crucifixion feels kind of off in a world that's awash in turkeys and tinsel. So why do we observe this odd day anyway? Why do we observe Christ the King Sunday? It's not an ancient high and holy day. It's actually began being observed in the mid-1920s, a practice instituted by Pope Pius XI out of a concern for the growing secularism and the rise of fascism in Europe. And the Pope's letter instituting the feast states this: "When once men recognize, both in private and in public life, that Christ the King, society, will at least receive the greatest blessings of all real liberty, well-ordered discipline, peace, and harmony." So eventually, this liturgical feast changed dates and made its way into Protestant churches as well. And here we are in 2019, still praying for great blessings of real liberty and well-ordered discipline and peace and harmony. Here we are in 2019 facing increased secularism and the rise of repression. And here we are in 2019 proclaiming that Jesus is Lord, not only in our hearts, but all over all that is seen and unseen, regardless of the evidence to the contrary. And here we are in 2019 preaching that amid all the consumerism, the income inequality, and the division that we hear about, the food-laden tables and the juxtaposed with the tent cities, Jesus reigns. Jesus reigns. Jesus does not seem to hold sway over those who sometimes call on his name the loudest, let alone those who occupy the halls of power. Christ is King. Period. Amen?
Amen.
The gospel text seems to confirm rather than counter the assessment that Christ is King is potentially not reality. Jesus is labeled the King of the Jews in irony as a means of further humiliate him. He's gawked at by the crowd, scoffed at by the leaders, mocked by the soldiers, and ridiculed even by the criminal who hangs beside him. And Jesus, the King, remains passive, acted upon through most of these verses, hardly like any earthly monarch. And yet that's the point. That's the point. Jesus is like no earthly ruler. Jesus is the antithesis of dictators and bullies and power brokers. King Jesus does not coerce or intimidate or use violence to get his way. The one who rules heaven and earth hangs powerless on the cross for the sake of the ones hanging beside him. Both the criminal who recognizes him and the one who curses him. He takes on the sin of the spectators, bless you, and the scoffers and the mockers and the deniers. Jesus' reign over real liberty, good and decent, well-ordered discipline, peace, and harmony comes by the way of the cross, ushered in through solidarity with the helpless and those who suffer unspeakable cruelty and pain. Christ the King is like no other. He came not to be served, but to serve. He came not to stand apart from the least of these, but to take their place. He came not to puff himself up, but in fact to pour himself out. Jesus will be raised and sit at the right hand of God. Jesus will defeat death, conquer sin, and save the world, not through military might and worldly wealth, but through vulnerable and sacrificial love. Those of us who know this ultimate truth are to proclaim this to all other powers fighting to reign in our hearts and in the world. Jesus reigns in cell blocks of convicted criminals, calling for repentance and offering forgiveness. Jesus, a refugee, an asylum seeker himself, reigns for those who have no home, promising that none other than God prepares a place for them. Jesus rules in government offices and on the streets with protesters, urging all to see in one another the image of God, to know God's desire for justice and to participate in the inevitability of its coming. Jesus is Lord in those places of great abundance and those of soul-crushing scarcity, calling on people to work to make sure everyone has enough. Jesus reigns in us when we seek his kingdom first, that kingdom of light where darkness no longer rules. As we wrestle, perhaps this week, with what we need to bring to church, I want you to be reassured, friends, that Jesus is indeed Lord of all, the Prince of Peace, the one who had saved sinners, the one who redeems all creation, no matter its current state, no matter if you're anxious about the state of the world or worry deeply about a loved one. Jesus is present and offering grace. No matter if you're going to be surrounded by friends and family or working or eating alone on Thursday, Jesus is present and offering the bread of life. No matter if you struggle with things you have done or perhaps things that you have left undone, Jesus is present, extending forgiveness and empowering you to repent and try again. Try again. No matter what holds you captive, resentments, addiction, guilt, fear, or anything else in all of creation, Jesus is present. Jesus is present and will never leave you orphaned. Jesus understands your suffering and promises the gift of peace that passes all understanding because Christ the King is like no other. That's the hope. As I wrote this sermon this week, I was sitting in my chair, kind of typing it out, pecking it out, and I inadvertently kept typing Christ the Kind. You see where the G and the D, I don't know why I did that. But it's a spirited typo, right? Christ the King is indeed Christ the Kind. A kind that in 1925 and today is somewhat all too much countercultural. Because nice matters. Being kind matters. No matter who or what we're dealing with. We can all be nice. We can all be kind. Kind almost in this countercultural kind of aspect feels quaint or even weak or ineffectual. But our Lord Jesus Christ, Christ the King, shows us otherwise. Jesus, the Good Shepherd, tends to the weak and rescues the lost and comforts those who mourn and binds up the brokenhearted, and in doing so, reveals the transformative power of God. And we, my friends and family, are called to do likewise, revealing to others who really holds the power over us. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen and amen.